Glory to God. You know, when I was talking about Faith Fix, you know, one of the reasons why I know that the Lord, you know, the Lord loves interaction. He loves engaging, anything that engages between people. And it's so important for us to do that as Christians, is to learn how to engage. You know, and so it's not just a rebuke, but that, you know, the thing that I found is when I sit, you know, whenever I've got to sit with ministers, anyone anointed by God, and you pull on the gift. You know, just this week, I was with a friend of mine. Well, you know him, Justin. He had preached in this church recently, you know. And him and I just got together for some for coffee and some fellowship. And, you know, it was so interesting. It was on Wednesday. And it was so interesting because as we sat and talked, there was just a draw. You know, the Bible says that iron sharpens iron, and there was a draw in the gift, and just things started coming out, and I started getting revelation of things. And I even said to him afterwards, I'm like, brother, I wish I could, I would have recorded this conversation, because it was just that good, amen? And so, you know, that's what happens is when you want the cookie jar stuff, that's the stuff that's the deeper stuff. It's not just the surface level things, but it's the things that get in there and really, like, fire you up, those things that stir you and stuff like that. And, you know, it's like, man, when you start, have you ever done that, been in a conversation, all of a sudden you just want to get up and go running or something? It's like, you know, you're just fit to be tied. You don't even know what to do with yourself, you know? And so that's the kind of stuff, and that's why we do that. That's why we have the faith. Fix. I know that's why the Lord led us that way. And I've seen that gift work many times as we've answered it. So I just encourage you that way to, you know, to reach out with things, you know, be thinking about, be mindful about the Lord. You know, I very rarely will read the word and not have some kind of question about it, you know. I got to also spend some time with my pastor this week, and it was really, really precious. You know, we spent all day together, and we were doing some fairly carnal things in the sense that it wasn't all spiritual stuff, but our conversation throughout the day was just, it was so enriching and so wonderful, you know, and it was you know, actually, it's the basis of where this message comes out of today. And so, you know, it's just that's what happens when we put a demand on that gifting, amen? And realizing, again, that the gifting is not the person, but the gifting is the thing that the Lord has placed within our midst to be able to tap into and use, amen? Glory to God. So please don't ever think that. If you hear me say the word gift, I am not talking to myself. I am not a gift to you, but the office. The office certainly is, amen? But it's a gift to all of us. Well, today's message is called Resisting Fear. Amen, hallelujah. And we're going to be talking about some things. You know, there's a lot of things, you know, with a lot of things that are going on in the world, a lot of things that are happening. You know, one of the greatest temptations is to be in fear. And as Christians, we've been delivered from fear. We've been delivered from that, you know, we've been delivered from that fear of death. We've been delivered from the fear of pain and suffering. We've been delivered from these things. And so we need to live our lives in such a way that is an example of that, that shows that we are above that. And, you know, you can't fake that. Amen? Can't fake that unless you know the truth, but then you can live in it. Amen? And that's the truth, and that's what we have to embrace. The truth is what sets us free. And, of course, you know, as we say that in so many areas, and, of course, it applies to so many areas of our life, but especially in areas like fear. A lot of decisions that people make are made based in fear. And I would, unfortunately, the church isn't much different anymore. That so many people live in that place of fear, and they make decisions based on being afraid that they move. They you know, everything they do, and you know, and it causes so many. And actually, what it does is it opens the door for the devil. And so we have to live aside from fear. Now you can't do things that open the door to fear in your life and then expect you're going to expel fear just that easily. So we need to keep those doors closed. Amen. But first and foremost is knowing the. And so when I think of fear, there's always one scripture that I generally start with, and that's 2 Timothy 1:7. So let's go ahead and turn there. Praise God. Hallelujah. My Timothys are sticking together today. I don't know what's going on. 2 Timothy 1:7. Glory, hallelujah. And of course, it says here, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. You know, there's a song I like that says, if the world didn't give it, the world can't take it away, right? I love that song. I love, it kind of stirs me up every time I listen to it. It makes me want to dance, all that stuff. And not dance because I just, you know, it's got a good groovy beat, but it makes me want to dance because it gets me excited for the Lord. It gets me excited for the promises of God. You know, that's what a good godly song should do, is it should stir that in us. Amen. But if the world didn't give it, the world can't take it away. But at the same time, if God didn't give it, then I don't want it. Amen. If God didn't give it, I have no business keeping it. You know, so often that's what our distractions are in life, is we're just desiring things that God doesn't want us to have, you know, or we're desiring things more than we're desiring God. And all that is a distraction away from what's really good. Amen. But God has not given us a spirit of fear. It's so important for us to understand that. This is an incredibly, of course, this was written to a pastor. We have to understand that with this, you know, the First and Second Timothy was written to Timothy. He was a pastor who was on the verge of feeling like he wanted to quit. And so we see this even in faithful. And he was a faithful man of God, did some wonderful things, had big churches, all that stuff. But he was tempted to quit. He was tempted to quit because of the pressure. But God, you know, of course, right before that, Paul told Timothy to stir up the gift of God that was on the inside of him. And then he said, for God has not given us a spirit of fear. God hasn't given us a reason to be afraid. And see, this is where another question that, or another answer to that question of why would God allow bad things? It's not that God allows bad things, amen, or puts bad things on people. Because if, you know, listen, if God was going to put a sickness on you, that would cause you to fear. Is there anybody who's gotten a really bad pain in their body or something like that, and your first thought goes to what? It's death, right? It's death in some form. It's death in this and death of that. This is killing me. Amen. In fact, we even use that term. This pain is killing me. Why? Because that's what it tends to draw us towards. Amen. So if God was putting sickness on his people, if God was making his people sick or making them not able or getting them lost or making them, you know, removing things from them, what does that always lead to? It leads to fear. So God hasn't given us that spirit of fear. So he also hasn't given us those things that cause fear. Amen? Praise the Lord. So what this is saying is there's no reason to be afraid. If there was reason to be afraid, God would have given us a spirit of fear. Now, we also see this here, that the Bible calls fear a spirit. There's a spirit of fear. You know, there are some people that can get overly spiritual-minded and everything is a spirit. Not everything is a spirit. You know, if you get a headache, it's not necessarily a spirit. If you get, you know, if you stub your toe, you didn't get attacked by a toe-stubbing spirit, probably. Amen. Glory to God. But there are spirits out there. There are spirits that specifically play on certain things. And one of the things I want to bring up is fear is probably one of the number one the devil always uses against his people or God's people. And the reason he uses it is because he himself is completely has embraced fear. He is full of fear. A lot of people don't realize that, but the devil is more afraid than you are. You ever heard that saying? He's more afraid of you than, and that's true. The devil's more afraid of you than you are of him. That's why he attacks so much. But see, he banks on the concept that you don't know, and he knows whether or not you know. Praise the Lord. Depending on how you resist him, praise the Lord. But there is a spirit of fear, and that spirit is going to it's going to watch you. It's going to be looking for doors, but we don't even get afraid of that. Amen. Because God has given us another spirit. He said he has not given us a spirit of fear, but of. And when it says this, he gives us, it's saying that he's given us another spirit. Amen. Another spirit of love, of power, of love, and of a sound mind. And so, you know, have you ever noticed that people that get really afraid, they get kind of crazy? You know what I mean? They start acting in such a way that's just like, they'll start doing things that don't make any sense. They'll start doing things that are just kind of nutty, right? That's because that's the other side of that. That's what fear does. Fear drives an unsound mind. God has given us a sound mind. A sound mind is a mind that's at peace, a mind that's not moved. You know, Jesus in the back of the boat, as the storm was coming and the waves were lapping over the edge and the boat was filling with water and it was sinking and everybody thought they were going to die. And what was Jesus doing? He was sleeping. Why? Because he had a sound mind, a peaceful mind. He was at rest in the Lord because he knew the direction of God. And see, that example, although we're not turning there today, is such a great example for us because we see how God reacted. We saw the right way to react in the storm. If there was the disciples, or a bunch of them, were fishermen. They were not unaccustomed to the water. They were not, the water was not a new place for them. You know, one thing, as I've been, there's been a few times I've been out on a boat with Pastor Tim, and we've talked about different things. And one thing he always says to me is he says, a boat can take a lot more than the people that are in it. And so when, the boat's slamming around or you're taking waves, it feels like, you feel like it's going to break apart. An airplane's the same way. I mean, if you want to look at it that way. When you're in an airplane, if you're in it for the first time, man, you look, I don't know, but I remember the first time I flew as an adult, and I looked out the airplane, out the window, and I think I was over the wing, or I could see the wing. And, it wasn't really too bumpy or whatever, but I saw the wing every time it bumped. The wing was like, it was flapping, And I'm like, I don't think it's supposed to do that. That doesn't seem right to me. It's like, how is that so, moving so much? But of course, the airplane is designed to do that. It's designed to have that flexibility and stuff like that, even though it's rigid metal and, you're not going to go out there and bend it or anything. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. How'd I get on that? You remember? I don't know. Where are we going? Yeah, it makes you go crazy. It makes you think. So you're out there in a boat, and I was talking about Jesus in the back of the boat, and the fishermen. My point is that if you've been, I look at the stewardesses, and I always do this in an airplane. When I'm in an airplane and fear tries to grip me, I look at the stewardesses. Why do I look at them? I don't like now. Let me. Yeah, I look at their faces. Because I'm not going to tell anything from any other parts of their body. I'm looking at their faces. And I look at, I'm afraid. Yeah, right. Praise the Lord. I was looking at their, I look at their faces and I see the reaction on their faces. This is what I'm talking about. Praise the Lord. See, this is why I can't be president. Every time I try, I'm going to throw my hat in the ring. And every time I go to do that, I go and say something like that in the pulpit. And then somebody will pull that out. Well, praise the Lord. But, I look at their faces and I see what they're doing and how they're reacting. And one of the things I've noticed is that even when it's pretty bouncy, and I've been on some pretty decently bouncy flights, more bouncy than I've enjoyed, than I've liked. But I look at them and, in fact, let me give you another example in the same line. I was just flying with a friend of mine who has an airplane. Many of you know about that, but he has an airplane and he called me up one day and he said, hey, he's like, this guy that I'm, because he's a flight instructor too, and so he teaches people how to fly. He says this guy that I've been instructing on how to fly. He just bought this really nice airplane, and he needs to get ours, and he's gonna fly. So we need it for a few hours, and he said we're gonna fly to Maine, get some lobster, and then fly home. Do you want to come? Heck yes, I want to come. Praise the Lord. Fit me in. And so that's what he did. So I got in the airplane and we flew all the way to Maine. And I mean, it's amazing. You take off at Jamestown and just even a little airplane and you're at the coast in 2.5 hours. Praise the Lord. And so we land and we go get our lobster, and it's really the airport world is really cool. Like the private airport world, because we just like, we're landing and they get on the horn, the thingy that they transmit the stuff. And they get on there and they start talking and they're like, hey, it was like, we're coming in for, we're just coming in to land and fuel up. It was like, do you have a car we can borrow to go? He said, we want to go get some of your local crustaceans, he said. And the guy said, yep, we got a car. So they let him borrow a car. He didn't have to pay for it, put gas in it, nothing. So yeah, it's cool. But so we took a car. It wasn't a real nice car, but it was a car. Better than walking to the crustacean bar, amen. And so we drive and get our lobsters, and we brought some back and everything. But on the way back, as we were in the airplane and we were coming back, they were trying to route us different ways because there were some storms and stuff coming in, and nothing dangerous really. But they try to keep you away from storms because it's better not to fly in a storm. And we were going through this cloud. I'll never forget, we go into this cloud, and that was part of what his rating was for. He had to wear these goggles. The guy was flying, he had to wear these goggles and stuff that don't let him see anything but the instrument panel. Amen? So you got to fly kind of blindly, right? And so we're up there, and we're flying through the cloud. And if anybody knows anything about flying, when you're in a cloud, there's you know, there's different things that can happen with airplanes and clouds. And generally, you don't really have much control over it. Actually, you have no control over it. Going through this cloud, and then all of a sudden, it was like, go boom, like that. And I mean, my stomach was instantly sick. It was one of those. So we dropped pretty good. And I'm you know, I'm a little bit like this in the back. But I look at the two that were flying, and they didn't even flinch. In fact, when I was talking about the bump later, they didn't even remember the bump. You see, somebody who does it all the time, to them, it's not scary. And so they know. And so they're not moved by those things. And all that to get back to the... to get back to Jesus in the boat, you know, these fishermen, they weren't naturally afraid unjustifiably. They were afraid. Now, if we had that bump and those guys are too going like, what are we going to do? You know, then we're in trouble. You know what I mean? But as long as they're good, and that's why I look at the face of the stewardesses, mostly their eyes, I'm looking at their faces to see what they're doing. And it always puts me at rest because I figure these people do this all the time. You know, I mean, it's crazy to think actually fear of flying is really kind of a stupid fear. And if you're afraid of flying, I was too, and I've learned how to get out of it by this. It goes along with the message, so hang with me, amen? But it's a stupid fear because when you think about it, these airplanes fly all the time. These people don't just, it's like, they're not just flying you once and going, whoo, we made it, we'll do it, have to do it again next month. No, they're like literally dropping you off and they're flying back to another location, probably the same location. And a lot of times these pilots are just going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And so they know they have all these different kinds of things to expect and, you know, stuff like that. So they understand how it goes. But what I'm saying is when the disciples were in the boat, they weren't afraid. Naturally speaking, they weren't afraid being unjustified in doing so. They were afraid for natural reasons that were probably pretty good. So it wasn't just a storm, but Jesus was resting. And why was Jesus resting? Because Jesus knew something that they didn't. He knew the Father. They didn't have a full understanding of it. They hadn't embraced it yet. And so this is what we have to understand, folks, is as we walk through life, God has given us another spirit. He's given us a spirit to allow us to be in places or to do things in such a way that we don't have to be afraid. And so following God's Spirit, learning how to follow God's Spirit is the one of the that we can do. In John 16, 14, I just want to bring it up to you. It says, He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and he will declare it to you. And so this is the spirit that we've been given. We've been given a declaration spirit. That spirit of declaration, that spirit, first of all, we understand of power, love, and a sound mind. And so power indicates that we have the ability to do what we need to do, right? We always do. Love means that we can walk in love. We can do so rightly. We can walk the way God has us to do it. Well, even when it doesn't look good, even when it's not favorable in our minds to do so. And then of a sound mind to do so and not be afraid. You know, it's the people in fact, stewardesses, this is something that they have to do sometimes, is they have to comfort people who are unduly afraid or unjustly afraid. They're up there just being afraid of what is happening, and they don't need to be. And so they do their best to comfort them. But a sound mind will lead you out of that fear. It keeps you away from that fear. There is no reason to be afraid, amen, if you follow the Lord. And this is one of the great things about following God is that we don't have to be afraid anymore. He's delivered us from fear, amen? Also, I want to share this scripture with you. I didn't put it in there, so you might just have to pull it up. 1 Peter 5:9, if you could pull that up too. Praise God. God has not given us a reason to be afraid. He's given us the power, the spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. Glory to God. And so 1 Peter 5:9 says, resist him, speaking of the devil, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Now the points I want to, there's two things here I want to emphasize to you, and that's resist him, the devil, and steadfast in the faith. How do we resist the devil? We do it by being steadfast in the faith. This is the fight of faith, that we understand that we look to our faith in the times of trouble. We look to what we know, the things that we've been assured of. When things are adverse, when things are opposite, when things don't look good for us in the natural, what do? We don't look at the natural. We take our eyes off that, and we put our eyes steadfastly on our faith. Our faith is what we know of God. If you don't know much of God, you don't have much hope. But if you know quite a bit of God, then you have quite a bit of hope, amen? And the more of God that you know, the more hope that you'll have, amen? And that's why we encourage, you know, the gathering of the saints together to hear the word and stuff like that, or even reading the word a lot to yourself and, you know, listening to sermons afterwards and reading faith fixes and all this stuff, because all this stuff builds faith in us. It's the faith we need to turn to when we are in the trouble. When we see the trouble, we turn to faith. What do? We take our eyes off of that thing. Whatever the trouble is, it does not matter. We don't have to look at it anymore. Jesus was saying, you notice what Jesus was not doing in the Bible. It's funny, I'm using the scripture so much and we're not even turning here. But we all know the account, right? When Jesus was in the boat, he wasn't mindful of the storm at all, whatsoever. Not like even a little bit. He took his mind completely off the situation at hand. Do you know when you're going through something and you don't know what to do, that's where fear enters, right? And so what do? You think about what do I do? Yeah. Jesus' example is you take your eyes off the thing. You stop looking at it. Yeah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, let me throw a little bit of a caveat in here, something we have to look at a little differently. If you're in a car and you're about to get in a car accident or a deer jumps out in front of you, don't take your eyes off the road. That's not what we're talking about. You know, that'll cause fear too, but in that moment, don't do that. If you're riding your bicycle and all of a sudden you think you're going to hit something, don't cover your eyes, praise the Lord. Stay focused. But what we're talking about is just typically in life, as we're going through the trials of life, as we have opposition come to us, as we see the different things come at us, what we need to do is take our eyes off the thing and put them back on God. This is the fight of faith. This is steadfast in the faith. This is how you resist the devil. The devil comes with blaring horns, screaming voices, all these, you know, shrieking this and that, and he's making a big show in front of you. This is what the devil does. Any problem that is presented before you, isn't this the way that it comes? It generally doesn't come in quietly and sneak up on you, but at some point it's going to announce itself. It might sneak up on you, but it's going to announce itself, and it's going to do so loud. And that's what fear tries to do. It tries to grip you. It tries to catch you unaware and grip you into a place where you don't know what to do, but you know what to do. Don't look at the fear. The fear doesn't matter. Whatever it is, it doesn't matter. Listen, the one thing I've learned about God is if he needs you to act right now, if he's like, yo, you got to act right now, God will make sure you act right now. He will give you the knowledge to act right now. So whatever comes to you, maybe you go to the doctor and you get a bad report. Don't act in fear. Take your eyes off of that and put it on the one, praise the Lord, who's given us the promises. Resist the devil. The devil brings fear. God does not. God is he's the antithesis of fear. Amen? Praise the Lord. So we know that other people suffer from the same things, but we keep our faith and our heart where they're supposed to be. We redirect it to the things that we know. And one of the first things I always go to is he has never left me nor forsaken me. And so and that covers pretty much everything that comes before you. That's a good place to start. The first thing you're afraid, you're too stirred up, you don't know what to do. My God has never left me nor forsaken me. He never has and he never will. And because I know that, I can be here and resist the fear. Amen? Turn with me to Hebrews 2. Now, if you haven't noticed, or if you haven't picked it up yet, one of the things that we are dealing with here is the stuff that's happening this year. And before I get into that, I want to say this. Resisting fear does not mean being stupid. We have to use our intelligence. But we don't make decisions based on fear. No decisions, right? If we can't make a clear decision, then we wait to make it. plain and simple, right? Praise the Lord. But we are not going to continue operating in fear. The thing with this, what's happening in this this world, but I see it really strongly, of course, in the country that we're in, is that fear has been kind of the, it was the talking points of the election. It's been the talking points of every news station. All you see is fear, 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 fear. Listen, we cannot be afraid of things. We can't be wrapped up in that fear. Amen. Fear will cause us to do things that aren't right. Fear is what they're trying to use to close down churches. And even if people don't realize that that's what they're doing, that is the end of all this. They're trying to get you afraid. Well, what's the latest thing? And I think, I'm just going to be honest with you, I think that it's absolutely absurd. But to tell you that you can't meet in your own home. There was one, my wife was just reading me today, that they said that the government was saying it's okay. The CDC came out with this. It's good for kids to be in school, but it's not good for kids to, or families to get together at home. It's absolutely absurd. There's no truth based. Listen, we have to do things intelligently, but we can't operate from a place of fear. The place of fear, like obviously, I mean, if you care about us, don't come in here sick. You know what I mean? These are some good things, good points that came out of this whole virus thing, is that people started getting, listen, there's signs on doors that have to be there. If you don't feel well, don't go in public. That's called common sense. If you've got stuff that could possibly be passed to other people, don't go sharing it. If you want to share with people, share things that don't cause them to die. You know what I mean? Like that's the this is common sense. But we have to understand the same thing with the and they're talking about, you know, and it doesn't matter who's in office. They're talking about shutting things, you know, different things down. And I actually am blessed to see some resistance out there, because I'm going to tell you the truth. I think that it's a load of garbage. It's gone too far. We are not meant to be controlled this way. And they're trying to take every freedom and every liberty away from us. And all in the name of being safe. But this is why I'm addressing this now, not even so much as what's going on, because I know what's coming. Because if it starts here, it gets worse later. And then it'll be pretty soon, it'll be, well, you probably should only have so many people in your household. Mark my words. Mark my words. There'll be a time where people will start saying, well, you should only have so many children. Or actually, one government official even said, people really need to consider whether they should have children at all. This was actually said by a prominent government official and wasn't hidden. And so the point that I'm trying to make to you is all of this is fear-mongering. It's based in fear. Again, we can't go too far to the other side either and say, well, I'm not afraid and I'm just going to do whatever I want to do. Well, that could be stupid, right? We have to have balance. But if you found Hebrews 2:14, we're going to see something really good here. Amen. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same. Talking about Jesus sharing in our flesh and blood. That through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil. Wow. Verse 15, and release those who through the fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. The fear of death causes bondage. I know people in the world that are deathly afraid of what's going on. And, you know, they're so much so that they won't barely even leave their house. You know, people have lost everything based out of fear, not even because they needed to, but because of fear. I'm not saying that there isn't a very real thing happening. I'm not saying that there isn't very real opposition to human, but there always is. There's always something. There's no guarantees in the world. Like you could go, I mean, literally, there's people that die of the flu every year. And I'm not comparing the two. I'm just saying there's people that die of the flu every year that you would have never thought would have died of the flu. Right? I mean, and what is it? Is it like, I remember I was a young girl, it was like a year and a half ago or something like that, went in for a simple dental procedure and had some kind of infection or something like that and ended up dying. I mean, that is a random thing. She was perfectly healthy. There was no underlying conditions, but just got a certain infection. Something, I mean, that we randomly get or do all the time. People do all the time. And that's the point that I'm trying to make, is that we can't be subject to fear. We can't be held to bondage of fear. Death, the fear of death, is a bondage that tries to control people. When you look at why people are doing it, it's all we have relatives that won't leave the house because they are so afraid of death. Well, I'm just going to be honest with you, and I'm going to say right now, I don't want to die. I love living. You know what I mean? I have things to do here. I mean, I know I'm going to love heaven much more, but I still have things I want to do here, and I want to fulfill that plan here, right? So I have every intention of living, but I'm just going to be honest with you. I'm not going around in fear. I'm not going to live in fear because I would sooner be dead than to live in fear. I'm saying that without any hesitation. I would sooner die than to live in fear. I will not live in fear. That doesn't mean I'm going to die, but it also means I'm not going to live in fear, because living in fear is not living. It's death. It's living death is what it is. And we can't do so. We are the people of God. We have the promises of God. We need to stand on the promises of God. Now, that doesn't mean, listen, the world is not going to understand all our promises. When they come to us, the Bible says to have an answer for the hope that is in you, and we should be able to help people find that. But we need to be solid in that. We need to be okay with that. We need to not be controlled by the fear that something might happen, because that comes from no place except from the devil. That's where that is. God never said to you, God never instructs his people to do something because something might happen. We've been given the Spirit to know what will happen. We've been given the Spirit to know what to do, not to ever be like, I don't know what to do. And so all of this fear, and the fear is just growing and growing and growing to the point where, like, nobody out past 10 o'clock. You know, there's places that are putting curfews. Don't go. I mean, this is the one that I love. Now, you know, we have two churches. We have one in Pennsylvania, one in New York, right? So this is an interesting conundrum when they put all this stuff up, that you can't just cross state lines without quarantining or having a test. Listen, I'm not getting a COVID test every stinking week. I'm not going to do it. But you need to think about this stuff, because here is this issue where they're like, every state now passes or is in the whatever the numbers, has the numbers to not be allowed into other states, right? Now think about this. If every state has the numbers, they can't allow them to be on other states, then why is any state resisting other states or going? Because if we've all got it, what's the difference? Right? Like that, this is the thing. And this is the point that I'm trying to make. Again, I'm not taking a political stance at it. I'm saying we have to approach things with common sense. Now, I'm going to tell you what, I wash my hands and use more hand sanitizer than I ever have. There are times when I walk into stores and I get the squirt right there as I go through the door. And I never did stuff like that before. I don't feel bad about doing that. I feel justified by doing that. That's not fear. That's called, you know, people are dirty and people go out there in the world. I mean, have you ever touched a shopping cart handle and thought, man, this feels really clean? I've never, even in this time, I don't feel like it. I think they purposely make it out of stuff that makes you feel like it's greasy. You know what I mean? But so I don't mind having wipes and stuff like that, you know? It's nice when you have bathrooms that are clean, because bathrooms should be clean. You know what I mean? Just things like that. But in fact, I think about that. When I go into a public restroom, I'm like, who are the people? They need to get saved. Because a saved person would never urinate all over the walls. They would never, I mean, you can't even, if you got to step in a puddle to stand at a urine, I mean, it's just craziness, right? But this is the kind of stuff that's out there in the world. It's twisted thinking. It's wrong thinking. Amen. We do not need to be afraid. We should not live in fear. That does not mean, like, you know, we have, and we're going to continue this way. We're going to have, we broadcast to the parking lot. In fact, Mike and Tammy are out there. Everybody say hi, Mike and Tammy. Praise the Lord. We love you guys. Praise the Lord. And not because they're afraid, just because they're being smart. Amen. That's something. And that's what I love, is that we have options like that. And we always say this, if you're afraid, or you don't feel right about coming in, then don't be in the parking lot. and do that for a time, you know, or whatever we have to do. If there's an uptick in numbers, you know, maybe you do need to, you know, stay home a little bit more or something like that, especially if you're somebody who's high risk. And there's nothing wrong with making those decisions, but don't make them in fear. Make them based in knowledge. Make them based in, you know, that this is what would be better. Amen. But don't tell me that the church has to be closed down, but Walmart can fit just about as many people as they want in there. Don't tell me that the church has to be closed down, but you can go to these other stores and buy things that are non-essential or whatever. And even beyond that, you know, it should be up to me whether or not I listen. Everything we can do can affect somebody else. You know, so we have to get off of this. Well, it doesn't just affect you. Yeah, it doesn't just affect you, but we have to understand that everything we do can affect somebody else. Living right? Praise the Lord. And so we can't be into fear. And as Hebrews says, we've been released through, he's released us who were subject to bondage through the death will drive people. The fear of death will drive people to do things that are just crazy. Amen. Revelation 1:18 says, I am he who lives and was dead. This is Jesus speaking of himself. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and of death. This is metaphoric speaking, What he's talking about when he says I have the keys, talking about having the keys means that he has the power over them. He has the control over them. That's what that represents. And so we understand that our Lord, the one who saved us, has the power. Praise the Lord. He has the control over Hades and death. Amen? Yeah. Praise the Lord. I said he has the control over it. Now, yes, there are things that we can do to aid that, but if we're following God, he certainly isn't going to just open the door and say, here you go. Go to death. Amen? Praise the Lord. Turn with me to Matthew 10. Again, we don't want to be those, we don't want to flaunt our faith either in the sense that we... making a mockery of other people. We don't use our faith to attack people ever. But by God, we are not going to be controlled through fear, the fear of, you know, destruction or whatever. Well, listen, I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to keep, my heart is to keep the doors of the church open. But, you know, like, I can't, but I won't take on the responsibility of your decisions. And so if you have a leading not to be here on a certain day or something like that, or for a certain time period, you think that it's better that you need to stay out of there. Like, that's a decision you have to make. If you feel safer being outside of the church, then don't be in the church. It's good that we come together, but if for some reason you feel that you have a leading to do so out of that, you need that. Now listen, that leading is not going to lead you just, well, I'm just going to stay home, not have anything to do at church for a couple months or something like that, just because you didn't want to get up on Sunday morning. That's not the leading of God. Amen. But if, you know, we have some older people in our congregation, and, you know, or we have some, I'm sure we have some high risk people in our congregation. Like, you have to be fully justified in whatever you do, but make your decision fully justified without fear. Don't be afraid of it. The fear of it, my pastor always said this, and I used to say it in different ways, but it's, I really believe it. The fear of something is worse than the something. Yeah. The fear of it is going to will cause more trouble than the thing ever will. Amen. Matthew 10:27 says, "Whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light, and what you hear in the ear, preach on the housetops. And do not fear those who kill the body, but not cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin, and not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore, you are more value than many sparrows." Amen. When it says apart from his will, literally what it means is apart from his consent and notice. God knows what's going on. He knows what's happening in your life. Now, the fact that God knows when death is coming, God knows when you can't pass and you can't have something bad happen to you and have it surprise God. The Lord knows. And this is why it's good to be connected to his spirit. Because as we're connected to God's spirit, then we can know these things ahead of time. The Bible tells us that he will show us things to come. He will tell us things to come. He will get over to us the knowledge that we need of what's coming up. Which is why I say, if you have a check about something, you know, maybe you're going to the store and all of a sudden you have a check about going into that store. That's not fear. That check is saying, don't go into that store. I've had that check so many times. Save me from countless stuff. One of the things I love to do when the weather is bad, I love to drive in bad weather. Love it. Always have. I mean, when there was a snow, I always say this, that when, you know, there was a blizzard and you see that one idiot that's out there driving down the street, that's me. Glory to God. It's always just say, hey, hi, Pastor Jeff. I see you. Please don't call me an idiot, but you know, just, I mean, you might think it, but you know, but that's the way it was. But I remember one day I was going to go, it was a big snowstorm, and a friend of mine and I love, one of the things, I always thought I'd be a good plow driver, because one of the things, I love being out in the bad weather and drinking coffee, and I just thought it would be cool to be able to drive around, and you know, maybe I'm always over glorifying it, but at any rate, I remember one time we lived in Jamestown, and my buddy in Fredonia was there, and I think we wanted to have a coffee or something. It was a snowstorm. I'm like, great, this is a perfect opportunity to go driving in a snowstorm, you know. And so I got in the car and started out to go. And all of a sudden, as I was driving, I mean, I don't think I even got about a third of the way there. It just got worse and worse and worse. There was a check on the inside, you know, and I was like, I can't do it. See, sometimes you don't know what's going to happen. I mean, we've all been in places where maybe you've been driving, you've been doing everything right. And then I know I had this happen to me once, and all of a sudden the car started whipping around in circles and I'm in a ditch. And I wasn't even doing anything. I wasn't driving fast or anything. In fact, the roads were even plowed, but there was just that one spot, you know. And so, but God knows those things ahead of time. We don't always. And so there's a difference in following God and following fear. You know, it wasn't fear that turned me around, but I could have been stupid and not listened to that. But see, we have to be open to that. What we have to be, and this is what I try you know, my son last night on the way home, he asked me a really good question. He's like, he asked me about being a man of understanding. You know, like he asked me this question, how do you be a better man of understanding? One of the best ways that you can be a better person of understanding is by not having preference. Yeah. By kicking your preference out the door. By saying, you know what? I may prefer this. I would have preferred to drive in the snow. Some people are saying, my wife is like, I don't even want to drive when it's dark and rainy. Like, I go out when it's dark and snowy. I love it. But she's like, I don't even want to drive when it's dark and rainy. I don't like doing it. If it's raining or anything, she doesn't like doing it. You know, but throw your preference out the window. Just because it doesn't bother me doesn't mean I should do it. Just because I can or I'm able doesn't mean that I should. Or just because I think a certain way doesn't mean that that's the answer to all things I do. See, this is the difference, and this is what we have to understand, is as we're going through life, the way to be smart about going through life is not saying, well, bless God, it's my way or the highway. That's stupid. My way or the highway is absolute idiocy. That's what it is. And if you're a my way or the highway person, that's exactly what you're operating in. There's nothing wrong with having some things your way, but you have to be willing to be changed, because if you're not, this is what happens. This is what's at stake. The Holy Spirit will not override a my way or the highway attitude. He will not do it. And the Holy Spirit knows what's in your future. You do not. And so if you're like, it's my way or the highway, guess what's ahead for you? Things that you don't know and things that you can't be shown, because you resist the one who's showing you. Really, what my way or the highway is, it's one of the epitomes of pride. It's self-exaltation. It's that I know best for everything. And so we have to suppress that. The Bible says that it's the humble, right, that inherit God's kingdom. It's the humble. The meek shall inherit the earth, which also means humble. The ones who lower their own importance down in their own estimation. We have to be willing and open to that. And so that's the other side of fear. We can't, you know, sometimes Christians take that anti-fear so far and they get off into error because they're like, well, I'm just going to do anything. And I can, da, 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 da. All you're doing is running your mouth. It's not helping. What we need to know is what to do. We need to seek the Lord. We need to know, we need to be open to his spirit and open to the flow. Again, I want to stress this. The my way or the highway attitude shuts the door to the Holy Spirit. You There will be some things he may get be able to get through, but it closes the door to him. I don't want any area of my life closed off to the Holy Spirit. I want every area open. Why? Because everything successful comes with the open door to the Holy Spirit. He will lead you into all things success. But this is why sometimes, you know, I've known great men of God, wonderful men of God, and women of God, who are so consumed with their ideas being right, even though they're great men of God, they miss it in certain areas because of that. And sometimes it can cause, it can mean the difference between life and death. And so we don't want to be that. We can't live in fear, but at the same time, we can't be set on something. That's why I said, like, you know, even I started getting an inkling about Tuesday services. I don't know if it's going to complete, if we're going to shut them down for a time. It would seem that might be in the future. Praise the Lord. I can tell you this, if all of a sudden there's a major uptick in things and all of a sudden everything is shut back down again, I can tell you for sure that Tuesday services will not be there. I can't say the same about Sunday services, and I can't say the other way. I'll follow the Spirit when it's time. But I say this, that I believe that it's important that we have church. Amen. And that we can't just be moved by every whim of society. We can't just be, just every time somebody talks about something, well, we just gotta do that too. That's not right either. We can't be moved by fear. Amen? Praise the Lord. And so we understand this, that if the sparrows were so much more value to God than the sparrows, but one of them doesn't drop dead without his consent or his notice. Amen? So how would we think that our lives would be worse off? Of course, God is going to lead us right. Amen. Turn with me to Psalm 56. I hope what you find in a message like this is balance, because that's what Christians need. You know, that's part of a sound mind. Again, the my way or a highway attitude is not a sound mind. It's bent to one side. We have some strong leaders in here, some strong men and women that, you know, that you lead things, that you, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with being, you know, I think that one of the problems with many households is that the men don't lead more, that they don't step up more. And when a leader doesn't mean, well, you're going to come with me and you're going to do things my way, that's not a good leader. But a good leader will be bold. A good leader will say, this is the direction that we have to go. But a good leader also listens to counsel. Amen. And I'm not trying to say that, but there is a truth that men are called to be the leader of their home. They're supposed to lead their family into good things, but they have to show by example. They have to show by living. And I'll tell you what, that my household, I believe I lead my home, but I can tell you also that my household doesn't feel subject to bondage to me. My wife doesn't feel like she can't speak to me or can't have input. Like, we make decisions together all the time, for everything, amen? Because that's what a good leader does. A good leader, and I've learned that. It's not because I'm just such a good leader. I'm not saying that, but you understand, I think, what I'm going to. Praise the Lord. Psalm 56, 8. Look what it says here. I love the Psalms. You number my wanderings. Just the idea of that. I mean, if you meditate that. Now, I kind of have a poetic bent to me, you know, a little artsy-fartsy kind of thing, you know, and so I have a little bit of a poetic bent to me. And so when I read something like that, I just think, wow, I just think about it. I turn it over in my mind and meditate. He numbers my wanderings. I love it that it uses the word numbers and the word wanderings. Because I think about how sometimes I just wander through life, you know. Sometimes I'm just lost in my own world and I'm just kind of going around. But he numbers every step that I take. Every step that I take, God knows it. Every move that I make, God knows it. We're not talking about staying here, the police. You know what I mean? Not every breath you take and every move you make. You know, I'm not talking about that. But like, praise the Lord, huh? You'll be watching me. Yeah, but that's basically what it is. I mean, maybe Sting was inspired by God to write that song. Who knows? We went to a church once, and they played that song as they were taking up tithes and offerings. I'm like, how weird, first of all, that you would play that song to take up tithes and offerings. And then I thought about, what are they saying by that? Everything you do, I'm watching you, like, you better be putting it in there. I don't know, maybe that's the way they got more money out of people. Praise God. But you number my wanderings. He watches. It matters to him every step that you make. I can't even say that now and not think of the stinking song. Everything that we do, God takes note of it. It matters to him. He loves us so greatly. He's so enamored with us that everything we do matters to him. Every move that we make. Amen? Praise the Lord. You number my wanderings. Put my tears into your bottle. Now listen, God isn't really collecting our tears. He doesn't really have a bottle up in heaven of all your tears. And you know, so we don't want to get too emotional here. We can't get too artsy-fartsy and be like, oh, you know, we'll meet God and bless God. We'll walk into heaven and he'll present to us this bottle of tears that he say, mine would be a big jug. I did a lot of stupid things in life, which caused me a lot of pain and suffering and a lot of tears. Amen. It'd be a big probably tanker truck. Well, you know those trucks that they go around collecting all the maple sap in? Be one of those. That's it. Be pulling up. Peter would be driving it, you know, pulling up with that. And here, Jeff, here's your tears. And no, God's not actually clicking, but it matters to us is what this is trying to get across to us, that God loves us so greatly that those little things matter to us. When I cry out to you, then my enemies will turn back. This I know, because God is for me. Look at this. In God, I will praise his word. In the Lord, I will praise his word. In God, I have put my trust. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Amen. What a beautiful, beautiful set of scriptures. Amen. That God, he thinks about us so much that there's, but notice this other reaction. I love this other reaction out of the psalmist here. And when he says, in God, I will praise his word. In the Lord, I will praise his word. You know, the Lord, this is someone who has understanding of truth. How do we keep out of fear? How do we say it? By being filled with his word. Praising his word, looking at his word. See, this is what he's talking about. In a time of trouble, what does he do? He turns to God's word and he rejoices in the word, because the word is our truth. Our truth is not in this world. Our truth is not the pandemic or your sickness or anything else that you're dealing with in life. Your truth is the word of God, if indeed you have put your trust in God, if indeed you have made it your truth. And so that's what we do. We can have reason to praise when there's a storm. We can have reason to praise when the trial is on. When the Bible talks about this, when James says, count it all joy when you fall into various trials and temptations, praise the Lord. What do we know? We know that we can praise God because we have the truth. The truth is what sets us free. That's what opens the door. It's the truth. The truth is the truth that you don't have to be afraid of death means that you don't have to be afraid of the things of the world. Again, it doesn't mean that you're not cautious. Like, listen, if you're walking on the edge of the cliff, you don't have to be afraid of death, but you should be concerned about the edge of the cliff. You know what I mean? You don't just like go running, you know, on the edge. Pastor Tim was... time he was out, I think it was in Utah, and he was climbing this, he was out for a hike, and he was on this cliff thing, and he said it was literally this wide and like 1,500 feet down this way and 1,500 feet down this way. Yeah, there's nothing I want about that. Like, nothing I want, like, don't even want to, you know, I'll fly over it in a nice solid airplane with flapping wings, but I'm not going to walk on that, amen? Praise the Lord. One time we were in California, we were up on this mountain, and We got up there. It's roughly 6,000 feet in the air is where it was. As we were climbing, we got to a certain spot, and I said, this is as far as I go. As it says in the book of Job, thus far will I come, and no farther shall I go. Praise the Lord. That's as far as I came, and that's as far as I was going to go. Amen. He went a little bit further. He's a little bit more adventurous in that way than I am. But, you know, and so, but there's wisdom, too, and you know, in knowing your limitations and things like that. But praise God, hallelujah. Proverbs 29:25 says, the fear of man brings a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe. What else do you need? The fear of man. Now listen, this isn't just being afraid of another man or another woman, but the fear that mankind embraces. Think about it this way. The fear of mankind, the fear that mankind embraces, what brings a snare? It traps you. Fear does one thing, it traps you. It traps you in bondage. It will keep you from doing the plan and will of God. It will keep you from being in the blessing of the Lord. It will keep you from being, sometimes it will trap you. The snare will trap you in the thing that it's trying to cause. It's, you could be afraid of it. You know, I want to be real honest with you. I was at a coffee shop this week. And as I was there, there was this woman there that was talking about her and they're not saved or anything like that, but her and her boyfriend, and they were talking about, and she was talking about how careful he is to be. I mean, she said that even when he pumps gas, he would take his credit card out of the machine, lay it on the floor of the vehicle. When he's done pumping gas, would go spray the card with hand sanitizer. I mean, that's pretty extreme, right? Yeah. I haven't yet done that, but that's how extreme he is. They're careful with everything. He still got the virus. Yeah. He ended up getting the virus. And so the point being made is that you can't control it. When something is airborne, you can take steps to alleviate that, you know, and there could be arguments, you know, masks this, mask not masks and stuff like that. I mean, there's times where I'm like, man, I'm really glad I have a mask on. Most of the time I'm like, this is stupid. But, you know, regardless of what I think, that doesn't matter. I mean, I will wear them, and if I go to a store, this is just me. If I go to a store, they require it, I'll wear it. Why? Because I'm not going to get in an argument about it. It's just not that big of a deal to me. I mean, I don't want to have to wear it. I think it's kind of ridiculous that we always have to. But, you know, I mean, the idea, like some people have talked about, where as soon as you leave the house, we're going to talk about making laws. As soon as you leave the house, wear a mask. Well, that's, you know, maybe I will, maybe I won't. I don't know. But my point is this, is that, you know, I'm not just fighting the system. And we shouldn't just fight the system in just a fight unless we have good reason to. But one of the things, you know, and that's why I said, like, you know, if they came here, I love this. If they came here and they started saying that we couldn't do this or that, we've come this far. We've done a lot of things. We've done a lot of things, put a lot of protocol out there. We're being safe, right? We're going to decide the rest, or, you know, the Lord will decide the rest. Or we're going to decide whether or not it's going to, how we're going to go about that. I'm not going to have, listen, I'm an American, just saying, I'm not going to be that controlled. I'm just not going to be. Praise the Lord. And I know that a lot of people agree with me. But, you know, and I'm not just trying to stir us up and be like, oh, we're all mayor, rah, rah, rah. But, you know, I'm saying that the fear of it, we can't be so afraid of it. Because the truth of the matter is, you don't know when you're going to get something. You don't know when something's going to come. There's sometimes good Christian people who are led by the Holy Spirit will find themselves with something like COVID or something like that. That doesn't mean that they miss God or anything like that, you know, but they can't have trust in the Lord. The fear of man brings a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe. And I'll tell you honestly, I mean, these are the things that we have to watch out for because things are coming. I mean, when the government has created a database of people that, or like a hotline that people can rat out other people for not doing what they should, we need to be concerned about that. We need to think about things like that. And that's part of the reason why I think that the church needs to be strong, the church needs to be strengthened, and the people in the church need to be, because that's going too far. That's overstepping things, amen? Praise the Lord. You know, it's interesting to me that the things that this affects, I believe that our Constitution was given to us by God. I believe that the Lord directed people to do so. And the First Amendment, you know, one of the things that, of course, we have is the right to peaceably assemble, right? And the other thing that we have a right to do is we have the freedom of speech, we have the freedom of religion, we have the freedom, you know, all these freedoms, that all of these things are the things that are trying to be shut down, if you notice. Yeah. That's because the devil is attacking those things. That doesn't mean that we be afraid. We be wise to these things. We be wise to what's going on, but we trust in the Lord. The fear of man brings a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe. Amen? Okay, we're going to close here. Right back to, we'll just bring it up. I mean, we were there already. 2 Timothy 1:6. Go ahead, if you'd pull it up. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. It says, therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. stirring up the gift of God, which is in us, the direction that God has given us. We need to stir that up. We need to stir up the spirit that God is. But then, of course, right after that, it goes into, for God has not given us a spirit of fear. So we look inwardly. We look to the Spirit, to stir the Spirit, to get the knowledge and the direction that God has for us to walk in. Amen? But we have to stir it up in times of trouble, in times of opposition, in times when you're afraid. And listen, this message was not just about the coronavirus. This message is about just going through life. This is how we go through life. We're not going to go through it because if it's not this, it'll be something else. You know, if it's not this, it's hurricanes or it's tornadoes or it's global warming or it's whatever. Like, let's just trust in God. God has given us direction, you know. And again, you know, it's even like with all this stuff, we can't be so one-sided. Except for God-sided, but we can't be so idealized on one thing that we miss the other ideas on it, you know. It's like, you know, I say that because, like, global warming is a good thought. You know, we can't be so, I'm not going to do anything that we just, you know, all of a sudden we just start throwing trash out our window. That's not good either. You know what I mean? And so there's balance. There's stewardship and balance to things. And as we follow the Lord, we will find reason to not be afraid. Embrace what God has given us. Embrace the truth and be free from the fear of death. Fear of death is bondage. Never forget this. Fear of death is bondage, and it will hold you and keep you from being blessed. It will keep you from the things that God has for you.